As most of you know, this is the first sermon of mine after Pastor Sarah passed to be with. So even the selection of the song, I was thinking about her and her legacy, and within that legacy, the impact at least she made on me. Hallelujah. And so, I agree with Deacon Don that sometimes as we consume the praise and the worship and we assimilate the words and the inspiration, all we got to do is just let it, what do the chefs say? Let it what? Simmer or let it? Marinate, Pastor Greg. let it marinate in your spirit and soul, and then you think about it. But you know what? Sometimes it's like we are in a hurry to follow routine and procedure. There's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes we need to chill and let the praise and worship infuse us. Because remember, there's a scripture in which the people of Israel went to the prophet Elisha and told him to prophesy. And Elisha said, call me a minstrel. And they called the minstrel. And as the minstrel began to praise and make songs, the prophet prophesied. Why is that? Because we know that to be able to speak forth the things of God, you need an input of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That is why the scriptures say God inhabits the praises of his people. Hallelujah. So you and I need to major on praise and worship. And God is able to communicate with you through the praise and worship. Hallelujah. That is why I believe David was so much, so much inspirational. Hallelujah. So like I said, this sermon or this service is dedicated in honor and memory of Pastor Sarah. And I use the word the indomitable matriarch of RLCC. Hallelujah. And I have all these, a sermon that I was going to, What am I doing? Okay. This was what I was going to say. I was going to call it the 40s. I was going to talk about Pastor Sarah's, the truth, the trust, the talent, tolerance. But before then, let me just remind you before I pray. This past week, for the first time in the history of the world, we are getting unprecedented temperatures. I don't know whether some of you know that some airports in Heathrow, London, were closed down because the runway had melted, had warped, and they had to stop some planes. And all in some parts of Europe, even in this country, we have... When you say record temperatures, people sometimes, this is unprecedented. In the history of record keeping of temperatures, this is the highest past week. And for me, when these occurrences, I don't take it for granted. Jesus is coming. Peter said it 2,000 years ago. Paul said it. Hallelujah. So let's not be distracted and deceived Because the scripture say the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Because if you know when the thief is going to knock on your door, if our thieves don't knock on your door, they do. If they do, they wouldn't be thieves. Right? They just come in and burglarize you when you are sleeping. Hallelujah. But before we go, when I think about Pastor Sarah, I think about 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Go with me. This is just the prelude. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm reading from the King James Version. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For, and this is my emphasis, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Hallelujah. Now, you can find Paul's ministry to the church as Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17. And when Paul went to the church as Thessalonica, according to the scriptures, some people believed, a great company. And the Jews didn't believe. And those who didn't believe incited the town, and there was an uproar. And Paul left Thessalonica and went to Berea, Acts chapter 17. So when Paul was writing to them years later, he was reminding them of his ministry among them several decades before. And he said, when our gospel came to you, it came not only in word only. That word, the Greek word there is logos. But he says it came to you also in power, number two. That word there is dunamis. And it came to you in the Holy Ghost. That word is pneumaticus, the spirit. And then four, with much assurance that you knew what man of men we were among you. Hallelujah. So Paul is talking about what? Four parameters of the man of God. When the man of God communicates the gospel or instructs you in the word of God, it is not only in logos. Logos has to do with the doctrines of God, the general counsel of God. But the Bible says beyond the doctrines and the general counsel of God, the ministry of the word was also accompanied by power, dunamis. Number two. And then also in the Holy Ghost, the person of God. And then in much assurance, as you knew that the person communicating the gospel to you is a shepherd. When I think about Pastor Sarah, I think about these four things. She knew the word. I remember one time she taught here, and I think the passage was on John 10. You know, the thief came not to steal, but to kill and to destroy, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't understand it. So as soon as she got out, I said, Pastor Sarah, who is the gatekeeper in that passage of scripture in John chapter 10? Pastor Sarah didn't blink an eyelid. She said, it's the Holy Spirit. I said, oh my goodness, why didn't I get it? She didn't blink. She knew the word. Hallelujah. And for us, you and I will do better with this legacy. I don't know whether how many of you have seen this book Pastor Sarah wrote very early in the ministry. The title is Marriage and Motherhood. What's that? Anybody seen this? Only Josh. You have seen it? How many of you have even read it? You haven't seen it, you can't read it. Right? Pastor Sarah knew the word. And that is one of the distinguishing features of her ministry. So if we can extract any legacy from her life, you have to know the word. Hallelujah. Paul said, our ministry came to you not only in word only, our gospel came to you not only in word only. So the word is the primary way you can communicate. And many of us know that for years, in the 80s and the 90s, Pastor Sarah had a Listen to Jesus radio broadcast. Anybody remembers that? In fact, she's well known for this radio broadcast, probably than any other. We meet people, and you, as soon as you tell them about, you know, RLCC, you know, they don't remember RLCC. But when you say Pastor Sarah, oh, so, yeah, New York, Listen to Jesus, they remember. And this was not a one-way street kind of radio broadcast ministry. People could call in and ask questions live. Hallelujah. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. Go with me to Acts chapter 17. I'll come back to this, but go with me to Acts chapter 17. You see, in Acts chapter 17, let me read from the first five verses and explain what is going on here. Acts chapter 17 from verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. The Greek word reasoned with them is dialogomai. This is where we get the English word dialogue. So remember, when you are communicating the word of God, it's not supposed to be one-sided. In other words, the hearers should have the opportunity to ask questions. That is why I remember Pastor Sarah. I remember her for this thing. She said anytime she ministered, the Lord told her to let the congregation's comments and questions complete the message. Anybody remembers what I'm talking about? I've never forgotten. Hallelujah. And that was what Paul did.
Paul went to the synagogue. And when he ministered, he just didn't walk away. Because how can you know that the ministry, the word that you had ministered, has been understood? Think about it. I've taught in the classroom for decades, right? How can you know that when you communicate something to students, you explain concepts they understand, if you just walk away and they don't have opportunity to ask questions? Otherwise, you'll be operating on presumption and assumptions. Hallelujah. So the fact that Pastor Sarah communicated the gospel and gave us the opportunity to ask questions and clarify his message told me that Pastor Sarah probably had learned from Paul. That's what Paul did. Because you will never know people understand. Sometimes in the classroom, you never know what people understand until they pose questions to you as the instructor. So the questions for me enable me to locate the student's understanding. Because, you know, in the classroom, some people are shy. And me, on the first day when I give out my syllabus, I tell the kids, I'm going to call you randomly to answer questions. Some of them come to me in my office and beg me, please, don't call me. I remember there was one lady at Penn State. She came crying to me in the office. I said, I'm not going to. Just say what comes to your mind. Please. It's like she was going to have a heart attack. Right? Because people are shy. And when somebody asks questions among the audience or among the students, then they can also relate to it and understand. Hallelujah. And to me, the fact that the choice is yours, people had the opportunity, you know, to call on the phone and ask Pastor Sarah in the public domain. That was ministry. Because you know what? Sometimes what it means is that you, the instructor, you have to be prepared. Number two, you have to know your subject. You just can't go stand, you know, in front of people and just behave like you know it. Maybe you don't know it. And it's happened to me so many times. I remember somewhere in 98, 99, I was teaching a class at Muhlenberg College in Allentown. And at that time, I was younger, 98, of course, or younger, right? And I have all this class with older white men. And me, no, younger black man, I'm teaching the class. And as soon as I walked into the class, I knew it. Some of them were engineers from Lucent Technologies, from Ver Labs that became Verizon. And I could sense that they were wondering, does this guy know his stuff? You know? And then this was the first class. So the dean introduced me. And you know how in the classroom, you know, your credentials is everything. And the dean said, oh, Joe, this is his first class, blah, 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 you know. And as soon as the dean says, you know, my background, my first degree is in engineering, I saw them soften up. Then he said a couple of other credentials. And the one I think that blew them up was that I was a student at Columbia University. And he shut them up. I hadn't even spoken, but my association with an institution was giving me credibility. And later on, when people found out that Pastor Sarah was a student of the word, because she had followed Brother Hagin, it shut their mouth. You know how some people don't believe in women's ministry? In some institutions. Let me say it. In some of the Baptist churches, if you're a woman, they don't allow you to preach. And she had to confront or experience all of these things. In the 80s and the 90s. Not in post-Obama decades. Right? So she knew the word. And the legacy we can extract from Pastor Sarah is you got to know the word. Because the Bible says, Paul said, the gospel came to you not only in word only. Having the word is not enough. Let me go to the second one. Pastor Sarah walked in power. Hallelujah. I remember, I will never forget this. Some of you may remember. When Brother John Bevere came to RLCC, we shut down church here and we all joined Nanwed for service. And I think before Brother John Bevere would come and speak, Pastor, and this was, the church was almost full, Pastor Sarah said something like, word of knowledge came to her. And she said, there's somebody here with herniated disc. I never heard that word before. I know hernia. But this was the exact phrase Pastor Sarah coined. Herniated disc. Then two people got up from the congregation. Hallelujah. So the word of God from Pastor Sarah did not come in. The gospel came not only in word only, but also in power. Because if you are there, I was there. Single, I had been a believer for years. But when Pastor Sarah called her herniated disc, right, that is power. So Paul is saying that our gospel, my ministry, was not only in the general doctrinal instruction that I'm giving you, but also in power. Hallelujah. So the second indication or manifestation of the credibility of a legitimacy of a man of God is the power of God upon your life. Go back to what Paul said. Forget about this message. It was not going to come. Go back to 1 Thessalonians. Paul said, verse 5, for our gospel came unto you, not unto you in word only, logos, but also in power. The second manifestation or parameter is power. And in the Holy Ghost, third, and in much assurance. The Greek word there is, it's translated confidence. So beyond the word, the general doctrinal knowledge that comes through instruction, beyond the power, dunamis, there should also be the Holy Ghost. Let me talk about power. Hallelujah. Everybody in RLCC, you know, they have their stories about Pastor Sarah. I remember, I'll never forget this. I've forgotten the year. Sandy, what year did we have? Remember the church dinner that we had with families? What year did you go to the camp meeting? How old were you? The one that they had here with Pastor Sarah. You were in fourth grade. Okay. What year were you in fourth grade? 2005. So that's about 17 years ago. Okay. So that was after the camp meeting. The church had dinner. Anybody remembers that? We had a combined dinner. And families were paying for the dinner, blah, blah, blah. And my wife and I, we signed our name. But we didn't include Susie. We didn't include Sandy. And Susie and I, on a weekday, Monday or Tuesday, we were gallivanting at Penn State. And I got a call from the church office that Pastor Sarah wants you. You know how when you hear Pastor Sarah wants you, it's like the principal, the principal wants you in her office. I said, and we were at Penn State, 3 hours away. I said, why does Pastor Sarah want me? What bad did I do? Right? So I called the church office back, and she was busy talking to somebody on the phone, but then she called about another 15 minutes later. And Pastor Sarah said, Joe, why didn't you put Sandilyn's name on the list of the people attending the dinner? And I said, Pastor Sarah, I thought she was a kid, and this is an adult affair. She was 7 then. So no, it's not an, it's a family affair. Listen, I'm putting her name on, you pay up. And that was end of story. And then she did something that was, till today, for us, it was very admirable. She said she was going to go through New York with Sandy to find an appropriate dinner dress for her. And she planned it. Ask my wife. Because now that she has been part of getting Sandy as part of their family dinner, and she even told me that, look, there are other families with children as old as Sandy. They're all coming, so you better bring Sandy. She actually was planning to go shopping for a dinner dress for Sandy. To cut a long story short, Pastor Sarah managed to get dinner dresses, Sandy size at that time, from some families in the church whose kids had gone to prom or something, and Sandy got it. That's the kind of Pastor Sarah it was. Power. And you know what? That impressed me so much. That impressed me so much, right? But let me tell you another story about Pastor Sarah concerning her power. You know, when we started church here, and I still remember Minister Lewis and Minister Marlene would sit on the front seat, and we would be sitting somewhere in the back seat. And one day, there was a altar call. And my daughter, Philippa, who turned 21 yesterday, yeah, a junior going to be a senior in college, right? You remember them like that? Yeah, Dick and Tony still remembers Jamia in the pushchair. And then Philippa, I don't know how old Philippa was, but she was probably about three or four. And there was an altar call here. And Philippa was sitting with me here. Jamia was too young. She was in the preacher at the back. And Philippa raised her hands that I'm accepted Christ. And Philippa was sitting next to me. And I put her hands down. I'm trying to put her hands down. And Philippa is raising it. And Pastor Sarah is standing here. And so I said, Joe, you can't do that. And she went on to give me a sermon about how if somebody is ready to accept Christ, regardless of the fact that I'm the father, I have no business telling them to stop. Right? So with Pastor Sarah, what you see is what you get. And that is what impressed me about her. She was authentic. Talking about her power. Hallelujah. Let's go back to the 13th verse before I go through this. Paul said, for our gospel came unto you, not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Ghost. And in the Holy Ghost. You see, when you minister the word of God, the Spirit should communicate with the people. You see, you stand here, you don't know what is going on in people's lives. But the Holy Spirit will take the word that you communicate and make it relevant to each and everyone's situation if people open their hearts. Hallelujah. Because only the Holy Spirit knows what is going on in people's lives. Only the Holy Spirit has personal information about people's situations. You don't know. So, unless God opens your eyes to see, as you minister in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself will begin to communicate to individuals about what you do, what your response should be, everything else, so that you walk away edified. And that is the mark of a legitimate man of God. That's what Paul said. So the gospel is not coming to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. And last but not the least, Paul said, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Hallelujah. You see, it should be obvious that you and I should be able to distinguish between the shepherd and the sheep. Or in the classroom, or in the hospital, you should be able to distinguish between the doctor and the patient. Right? In the classroom, you should be able to distinguish between the instructor and the student. That's why Paul said in Corinthians, he told the Corinthians, you have many instructors, but you don't have many fathers. Hallelujah. The father's role extends or transcends beyond an instructor. I will just teach you and go. But when people go home, when fathers go home, they are thinking about your future. They are thinking about parenting you, not for today, but for generations. Hallelujah. And that is one of the distinguishing marks. And when Pastor Sarah stood the head and was ministering, we knew this is a woman of God who has been shaped by God to give you the word for the season. Now, you see, even though Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton were both students of Brother Hagin, and Brother Hagin was dominant in faith, they were able to teach and instruct in other subjects as well. Because Paul said, I have not ceased to give you the whole counsel of God. Hallelujah. Sometimes people specialize on a particular subject so much so that they don't even teach other subjects. But in Hebrews chapter 5, Paul talks about the doctrines of Christ, talks about repentance, talks about baptism, talks about eternal judgment, talks about the Holy Ghost. The Bible is an extensive curriculum. But you know, as I can tell you, that there's a difference between a syllabus and a curriculum. Hallelujah. And here is Pastor Sarah has written a book on marriage. And some of us don't even know it. Hallelujah. And in this book, she was very, very candid. She said, listen, I'm writing this for you so you don't make the mistakes I made. And she is so true. She said, listen, I'm not writing this as a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a social worker. I'm writing this
as a mother and a pastor.
She said, listen. She said, she was so authentic. She said, listen, both Pastor Clinton and I's first marriages failed. Right? And so the lesson they learned is that God had given them another chance to make things right. So I'm just sharing my experiences with you. Hallelujah. If I had the power, I'll make this required reading for everybody in RLCC. Hallelujah. Now let me go to what I was going to say about Pastor Sarah. Right? When I think about an adjective to describe Pastor Sarah, I use the word indomitable. Because why? Pastor Sarah's spirit was impossible to defeat. She had a very strong spirit. She knew who she was in Christ. I'm not saying she was an angel. Nobody is an angel. Angels don't live in this side of the world. But she was a no-nonsense mother. Right? She was also brave. She was courageous. But I want to talk about the four T's of Pastor Sarah. Her truthfulness, her trust, her talent, and her tolerance. Hallelujah. Let me start first with her truthfulness. Right? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, 15, but speaking the truth, after listing all the gifts, you know, the fivefold ministry, and he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 4 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. When I think about Pastor Sarah, I believe that she spoke the truth. She was not intimidated by institutions or personalities. Hallelujah. She said it as it is, or as it was to be said. And you better be ready if you are doing something she doesn't like, she will call you out in public. Right? And I believe that this aspect or this attribute enabled her to grow in Christ, because that means that the second one, Jesus, could trust her. Think about it. He says, but speaking the truth in love, not in condemnation, but in love, may grow up into him in all things. So in other words, the ability to speak the truth precedes your spiritual growth. So if you are not growing, it's probably because you are not speaking the truth in love. And if you are not speaking the truth in love, it probably means that you are deviated from God's word. Because God's word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. So speaking the truth in love, you see, it talks about the action, speaking the truth. And then it also talks about the attitude, which you have to speak the truth. He says, speaking the truth in love enables you to grow into Christ. Hallelujah. Today, because of social media, everybody has the ability to broadcast something. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And if you are not yourself a student of God's word, you can be deceived. You see, speaking the truth in love is God's truth. Not political paradigms. Not Republican or Democratic ideologies. The gospel should be able to stand on its own. And the Bible says, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because only the gospel has the power to save your soul. Not political prescriptions, which the Bible says will come to naught. And when I think about Pastor Sarah, you know, she spoke the truth in love. I remember just somewhere in March or so, there was an event in Nanwet, and we were there. And then Rose was behind her, And there were people, and she was saying something, and she said, "Pastor Joe, blah, blah, blah." And as soon as I heard the word pastor, I said, "Pastor Sarah, I'm not a pastor. Did you, look at me." I said, "Pastor Sarah, did you say pastor for me because it was a mistake, or the Lord is telling you something?" I said it respectfully and gently. She said, "You know, I don't say anything without being led by the Spirit of God." I said, "Rose, see you. Bye." Right? She said, "You know, I don't say anything without being led by the Spirit of God." And as soon as she started being, there were other people waiting in line to greet her. So I said, "Thank you, Pastor Sarah. I'll see you." Then I vanished. Like, she was authentic. Anytime Pastor Sarah talks, there is no doubt that she believed and was convicted about her beliefs. In other words, she trusted God. Now, we don't have time to talk about her exploits in getting the big building in Anwet and all those things. But she trusted God, and God could communicate to her. She would obey, and she built on that foundation over in her life. Right? And so the scripture that came to me is in Ephesians chapter 1, where a prophet, and in fact, she herself said, every month or so, I've heard her say this before, that every couple of months, she reads the book of Proverbs a couple of times. And Proverbs 3:15 says, 3:5 to say, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." You see, we all know Pastor Sarah didn't have a very high education. But her education was she trusted God. And because of that, God elevated her, and she maintained a productive relationship with God in her ministry. You see, she believed. The word trust means it's the notion that somebody, let me back up. The word trust is a property that you share with somebody else, right? So I trust my wife trusts me. I trust my friend trusts me. It's an attribute that you share with somebody. And so Pastor Sarah's trust was something she shared with God, right? And so Ephesians say, Paul said that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Once you trust Christ first, he says, in whom you also trusted. Pastor Sarah believed that God was for her, and everything God meant for her was for good. Remember that song that we sing, "He is for you, he is for you, he is for you." We have to cultivate this, you know, that everything, you see, your relationship with God as your loving father means that everything about you, he cares in a positive way. So these days, people are going to get married, and because I don't know that in 10 years, you know, when I'm limping and I don't look as beautiful, you have a prenup with me. That's not trust. Trust is the notion that the person you share that conviction with will not behave opportunistically against you. In other words, he will not take advantage of you. He will not capitalize on a situation and do you damage. Pastor Sarah trusted Christ, and you could see it in her life. And so when I think about her, this one scripture that comes is this. She trusted in Christ. She heard the word of truth. Remember how trust is related to truth? The gospel of your salvation. And after she believed, she was sealed with with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. And this is one of the legacies you and I can draw from. Let me go to the talent. I know you don't have to convince you that Pastor Sarah was talented. You see, we focus on Pastor Clinton's talent in music. But let me tell you about her talent, her managerial talent. If it wasn't for Pastor Sarah, this ministry wouldn't be where it is now. Because we know it, and she said it. But Pastor Clinton was always busy with his music. And for the kind of success he attained, you have to put in a lot of hours. Listen, let me say this way. I'm writing a textbook which will be released next month. I started writing these textbooks 5 years ago. I remember when I was writing it, it was the previous Olympic Games in Brazil. And so remember, because of COVID, the Tokyo 2020 was postponed to 2021 last year. And I started writing this in 2016. 18 chapters. What am I saying? Pastor Clinton put a lot of hours to create the kind of music with that. He may not have time for other things. Pastor Sarah was the manager or manageress of this ministry, managing the day-to-day operations. Hallelujah. You know, it's like a husband who come home, they have kids, and the food is ready at the dining hall, your clothes are washed, you know, everything is spick and span, and then you come and then dinner is ready. You have no idea the behind the scenes things that are done to make the food ready, to get the kids, you know, clothes, go to school and everything. No. That's what it is. She was like the domestic engineer for this ministry. Not to talk about, you know, her exploits. I don't have time to go into the trading and all the things, investing in property, real estate that made this ministry. Listen, some of you may not know it. But COVID and other things made a lot of churches bankrupt. They couldn't even pay their rent. And we have a place that is already paid for. You think, where did the money come from? Pastor Sarah was behind that. Her ability to hear from God and God directing her by this, by the. I've heard the story. I wasn't hearing them, but they said the day Pastor Clinton worked on this property, you know, God opened his eyes. And I hear Pastor Clinton said, you know, the first time they signed the check of $1 million, Pastor Clinton said, wow, I've never signed so many zeros on the checkbook in my life. Remember, a million has 6 zeros, not 4 or 5. Right? So Pastor Sarah's talent was evident not only in real investing, but so many other areas. I'm not going to talk about the apartment they bought in Trump Towers that, you know, they sold and the church became rich, you know, over almost $2 million. Right? But let me put you, Matthew 25, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling to a far country. And he called the servants and gave them his talents, 2, 5, and 1. Every man according to several ability. And then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded. Some of us are sitting on our talents. And we are not only trading it, we have dug a big hole and put the talent and covered it with debt. Hallelujah.
There is no doubt that Pastor Sarah used her talent. She exercised it. And so it grew. You and I can learn from that. Now, the word trade in Matthew chapter 25, verse 15, is the Greek word egezome, which means toiling or engaged in a task that pertains to your occupation. She knew she was called of God. She knew she was filled with the Spirit. So she operated in the Spirit even in her calling. And remember, that means that the Holy Ghost is not limited to you, not only speaking in tongues. The Holy Ghost can direct you as to where to live, the job to take, anything the Holy Ghost can direct you. Because the Holy Spirit knows more than you know and is able to add to your knowledge and information and even data. Hallelujah. Let me share the last thing with you that impressed me about Pastor Sarah. You see, Pastor Sarah reminds me there are some people who know what they want and what they do not want. If Pastor Sarah decides dinner, I want to eat fish, she's not going to say, oh, no, no, no. She is very, 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 you know, opinionated. She's very, very definite about what she wants. She knows what she wants and what she doesn't want. In terms of her taste and preferences, you know, sometimes people don't know whether I should eat spaghetti, Italian, or eat Greek, or Chinese, or Korean, or Thai. Some people are confused about their cuisine. And sometimes it happens to me all the time. I say, what should we eat today? No, somebody says, pizza. I said, no, we are eating Chinese. They say, if you know you wanted to eat Chinese, why did you give us the offer? I say, because I'm the big kahuna. Right? But not Pastor Sarah. What am I saying? This is what Paul said. And let me explain why I'm saying that. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, but being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became as a weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. 1 Corinthians 9, 19-23. If I like the verse 22 in the New King James, it says, I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. You see, if you know Pastor Sarah very well, you know that her taste and preferences are distinct. She's not like, she doesn't waver. But the ministry compelled her to be flexible in her taste and preferences. Which means, if you are a man or a woman of God, you can't afford
to take only one side because it's your taste and preference, politically, economically, because you are dealing with people from different demographic populations. People with different cultures, people with different ideologies. Paul said, I have become, think about it, the process was in becoming. Because remember, Paul himself, he was a Pharisee. And the Pharisees hated the Sadducees ideologically. Paul said, I have become all things to all men with the objective of getting these people I disagree with even into the kingdom. And that's what I think Pastor Sarah did. She was not unwavering. She didn't, there were things that she, because of the gospel's sake, she had to compromise. She had to, I don't want to use the word compromise. She had to be flexible. Right? Unfortunately, some of our leaders of today don't have the tolerance. If I subscribe to a particular ideology, and you don't, that means you and I can talk. Then, how can we be ministers of the gospel? Because Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, God has given us a ministry of reconciliation. Right? Paul said to the Jews, I became a Jew. In other words, he identified with people's preliminary values. I use the word preliminary. Values and norms and belief systems. So that when we have a relationship, then I can show you what Christ is saying from the word. But if I'm not able to identify with you so we can communicate and I reject you outright because you are of this Pharisee or Sadducee, we don't even have the opportunity to communicate and we don't have opportunity to change each other. Many people in the ministry today are not tolerant. Culturally, spiritually, emotionally, they are not tolerant. So they can't open the floodgates for people not of like-minded, political, economic, social, whatever it is, to come into the church. Hallelujah. One of the things in our ministry is, we heard it, that the Holy Spirit told Pastor Clinton to go and learn Spanish. Think about it. Before he passed, why will the Holy Ghost tell Pastor Clinton to go and learn Spanish if God didn't have a vision for the Hispanic community? Because the gospel is not only for Caucasians and African Americans. The gospel is for all social and demographic populations. Which means you and I have to make adjustments to our belief systems, to our norms, to our behaviors and speech, so we can win some. That's what Paul said. I have become, you see, the process of becoming all things means that Paul, being a Pharisee, he has to lower his barriers and identify with people who are not like him. And this idea informs policy. Hallelujah. But today, we have ministers, preachers, who are intolerant of people that Christ died for, paid the price for. And because of your own personal, you know, issues, you don't want to even share the gospel with them. You make statements that sort of repel them rather than bring them in. That was not Pastor Sarah.
I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partner of faith with you. I've made my case. So when I think about Pastor Sarah, at the very minimum, this is what I extract from her legacy. And it's just only 2 months, barely 2 months ago, that she was laying hands on us in sometime in May at ordination. Just barely 2 months ago. And today she's not with us. You know, the song that I selected, When I See Jesus, oh, can you imagine Pastor Sarah seeing Jesus? Oh, Lord, have mercy. You know, it's like the Jesus she has preached about on radio, listen to Jesus, the choice is for us. Now, she sees Jesus. Josh, let me end the message, but let me tell you a story that happened to me in London sometime probably in 89 or 88. There is this guy that when I was in high school, his thesis book that he wrote was my friend. Right? I mean, this is a book that we always were reading. It's a big book. It's called Nelcon and Parker. It's advanced level physics for those of you who did A levels. And then this is as a student in Ghana, right? High school in the 70s and the 80s, right? Early 80s. And then I go to London and I'm a student at City University, electrical engineering. And one day I'm going to an elevator and this guy comes into the elevator with me. And I see his name, I said, oh my goodness. I was starstruck. And I just reflected, didn't even think about what I was saying. I said, I read you! And Professor Parker, he said, you mean you read my book? And I was so dumbfounded. How can you read someone? I said, yeah, you mean you read my book? I said, I read you. I said, no. You mean you read my book? I said, yes. And he said, I told him and we became friends. I had read his book 10, 20 years before. And now he's a retired professor at City University. I just happened to, I knew he was in the university, but I had never seen him and just jumped into the elevator with him at the same time. Anyway. So think about Pastor Sarah preaching about Jesus all these decades and then meeting Jesus. You know, what would she say? I read you. I talked about you. Glory to Jesus. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word, which is spirit, which is life. I am sure your Holy Spirit has and is still ministering to us individually and corporately. We thank you for Pastor Sarah, the indomitable matriarch of this ministry. We thank you for her life and we thank you for her impact. May we extract from her legacy, and of course, Pastor Clinton's too, what they taught us, the word, so that we can become more like Jesus. Thank you for her legacy in this ministry, individually and corporately. And we thank you for the continuity of your mission and your mandate
for RLCC through our pastors and the leadership. Let it be said among us that they were instructed of Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton. Let it be said among us that they were trained by Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton. Let it be said among us that just as they fought the good fight of faith, RLCC is also fighting the good fight of faith. Let it be said among us that we are making leaps and bounds and the ministry is increasing, in not only in our integrity, but in our stability and in our legitimacy, and that we are moving on with the mandate you gave them in our generation, so Jesus will be glorified in our lives. We thank you for this church campus in the Poconos here. We thank you for Daniel Pankus. We pray for Pastor Greg and Pastor Ed. We commit them into your hands, that the counsel of the Lord will be our portion, and that we will do what you have mandated, what you mandated Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah to do as we continue in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you that every congregation member will rise up to the challenges and support the leadership to walk in the mandate and the spirit that God you have given our church in this northeastern area of the United States. We thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.